You are Locked On Clemson, your daily podcast on the Clemson Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Clemson Nation. Welcome to the Locked On Clemson Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. That's right, 5 days a week. It's a daily glance into Clemson athletics, and we'll take a deep glance here on today's episode. Going to get into a little bit more of this Florida State-Clemson saga. Going to kind of put a bow on it and wrap it up, because I do not believe there is going to be a Clemson-Florida State game this year, and I'll tell you why coming up in just a few moments. Also on this episode today, going to do Tuesday Tiger of the Week. True freshman Malcolm Green with his first interception of his career on Saturday against Pitt. But boy, is he an interesting young man. And I'll tell you more about his life goals that extend well beyond football coming up shortly. Also today, get caught up on men's and women's basketball at Clemson. Both teams off to hot starts, looking really good. Very, very early here in the season, but still, it's a good time to take a look at what they've done thus far and give you some thoughts and insights into what's going on with basketball at Clemson. Stay tuned for that. I'm your host, Brad Senkov. You can follow me on Twitter at Brad Senkov. That's S-E-N-K-I-W. I also am the deputy editor over at allclemson.com, where I write daily. Plus, I am the co-host of The Press Box on 105.5 The Roar in Clemson. Looking forward to diving right into things here on Locked On Clemson Podcast today with some thoughts about Florida State and Clemson. You know, this game, here we are over a week now, 10 days or so since the game was halted by the Seminoles in Tallahassee. Since then, Florida State decided not to play its game the following Saturday, this past week, against Virginia, after Virginia made the trip. And then finally, they went ahead on Sunday and decided they're not going to play Duke this week either. So they're going to make the trip to North Carolina to wrap up the regular season against the Blue Devils. Miami will now play Duke to offset that loss of a game for the ACC. So what does this mean? Well, here we are again, 10, 11 days since Clemson and Florida State didn't play. And there's been no word, no murmurs, no rumors, nothing from the ACC front office. They rescheduled Duke and Miami in a flash. I mean, think about it. Duke got canceled on Sunday night. By Monday morning, they already had Miami playing the Blue Devils. It was that quick of a turnaround. Clemson's sitting around here without a final regular season game at the moment, and or I should say a 10th ACC game at the moment, and then there's nothing. And trust me, I have exhausted several sources. I have kept my ear to this situation very, very closely, and there's nothing. There's nothing. So what this tells me is several things. One, Clemson is not playing Florida State this year. Clemson will wrap up its regular season, I believe, Saturday against Virginia Tech, which means they will only play 9 ACC games and still be eligible for the ACC championship. Maybe that could change if the league steps in and does something. And by doing something, I mean, they would have to schedule potentially Duke and Clemson. Clemson make a trip up to Durham on December the 12th, the week before the ACC championship game. And if Clemson beats Virginia Tech, they clinch. So I don't really know why that game would matter, except for just inventory, something to put on TV. I can't imagine, though, that either team wants to play that game. Clemson doesn't want to spend the money. It's not a fly. They could drive to Durham, but they still don't want to spend the money going up there and playing a meaningless football game that has no impact on the standings whatsoever. And why would Duke want to get their brains beat in by Clemson to wrap up their season? So I don't see any reason for this game to be played. So I'm saying it's unlikely at this point that you get a Clemson-Duke game on December 12th. That will still be Clemson's bye. Here's Florida State. Here's the other reason I don't think this Florida State-Clemson game ever happens. Florida State schedule is very, very odd. They went into this thing. I think they knew exactly what they were doing here. They knew if they could get out of the Virginia game, they could get out of the Duke game, And then they can't make up the Virginia game on December 12th because Virginia has to play Virginia Tech in a game that is being made up from earlier in the season. Well, then the league says, well, you can play on December 19th if you're not in the ACC championship game, potentially. They're looking into allowing teams to do that. Well, Florida State is hosting a bunch of high school state football championships. So they don't even have access to their field in Tallahassee for like 3 days that week. So I can't imagine they're going to play on the 19th. So what does this mean? Florida State's season is essentially over. I would be shocked if there's any game rescheduled or made up. I think they ended 8 games. They're not playing again this year. That's just my personal opinion and reading into what's going on. Clemson is not playing Florida State in terms of what Clemson would have to do to make that happen. The Tigers, according to multiple sources I've spoke with, people in the athletic program are still extremely upset about this situation. Again, if you don't recall everything that happened, Clemson showed up to Tallahassee. They had a player that traveled with the team who had COVID-19. He did not have symptoms when he was allowed to practice. He did not test positive when he was allowed to practice. And when he was around the team, they had no idea that he had it. And then he did test positive on that Friday night, and they found out, you know, that Saturday morning, Florida State found out and didn't want to play the game. Then Florida State decides that they can't play a game because they only had 44 players available for Virginia. They didn't know that, they claimed, until Saturday morning, this past Saturday. So they're the ones who had a bunch of COVID issues, but they've had so many roster issues, so many guys opting out and injured. Bottom line, Clemson has no desire to go to Tallahassee. And you know what? Neither does Virginia. The head coach, Bronco Mendenhall, came out Monday and said, we're not going back to Tallahassee. We have no plans on going back there. So Florida State has burned some serious bridges with people who have spent a ton of money to come down there and play football. And I understand COVID-19 is a reason that you shouldn't play football. I understand that, and I agree. If you have an outbreak or whatever, don't play. Simply don't play. It's that simple. I get it. But at the same time, I'm not going to be so, I'm not going to try to be so sensitive that you can't say something else doesn't feel right here. And it just doesn't. It really does not feel right what's going on at Florida State. And the administration is driving this. I'm not blaming Mike Norvell. Certainly it's not the players. The players want to play football. You don't go to school, put in all that work and all that effort to just not play 3 games this year. So I think absolutely it's not on Mike Norvell and the players. Mike Norvell has to be the face of the program. These guys got to stand up and talk about it. But ultimately, this is falling on the administration. And whatever is going on at Florida State, it's not going to affect Clemson because the Tigers aren't going back down there. And Florida State's not going to fit the bill. There's no way the Seminoles, they have some serious money issues. They are not going to shell out $300,000 to bring Clemson down to Tallahassee or Virginia. It's not going to happen. And I think they knew this. I think they looked at the schedule and said they can get out of this game and that game, then there's no way to make them up. I honestly think they looked ahead and saw that because I just don't think they have a football team. And they don't want to get their brains beat in and put their kids out there and lose by 50 points every game. They just do not have much of a football team. So Clemson, Florida State, it's over. Clemson's regular season game, in my opinion, final regular season game will be Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in Blacksburg, Virginia. Coming up next Tuesday, Tiger of the Week. Stay tuned for that. Malcolm Green will be featured in this week's edition. The week's just getting going, but you still need some time to sit back, relax, hit the reset button. We're on all the time. It seems like you never stop. You're always going, going, going. You need a chance to sit back and gather yourself. You know, just take some time for you. What better way to do that than an ice cold Coors Light? That's what I use when I want to relax and take a moment to catch my breath and reset things. And that's because Coors Light is literally the beer that's made to chill. It's cold filtered, it's cold lagered, it's cold packaged, and you can get it delivered straight to your door. It's fresh and crisp as the Colorado Rockies. Go to get.coorslight.com today. That's get.coorslight.com today. Find out how you can get that delivered to your home and sit back and drink the beer that is literally made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Coming up tomorrow on Locked On Clemson podcast, we're talking about Dabo Swinney, what he had to say in his weekly address to the media. Now let's take a look at Tuesday Tiger of the Week, and it goes to true freshman Malcolm Green, who had his first interception of his career on Saturday against Pitt. It was a deflected pass by Tyler Davis. It was early in the game, and it set Clemson up for a big score. And Green was just in the right place at the right time, had his hands ready, caught the deflection, and it was a big play in Clemson's huge win, 52-17 over Pitt, where they had four interceptions. Green gets one of them. So the true freshman already helping Clemson on the football field. And I think back to the summer, back during fall camp in August, when Dabo Swinney just could not stop talking about Malcolm Green and the kind of impact he was going to make at Clemson and what he was going to be able to do, not only on the field, but off the field. And that's where I had a chance to get to know him a little bit this week. He was one of the Clemson players made available to the media, and fascinating young man. Very interesting. A lot of people may not know this. He is actually a junior at Clemson. Yes, he's a true freshman on the football field, but he had so many credits he built up in high school that he is a junior in his first year of college. So this is like a prodigy type thing here. Malcolm Green is going to have multiple degrees from Clemson by the time his playing days are over. A lot of graduate degrees. He'll have a couple master's degrees to go along with his bachelor's. So this is a young man who academics are very important to him, takes it very seriously. And here's what he had to say about life goals simply beyond the game of football, not something you hear very often. So that's one of the reasons he's Tuesday Tiger of the Week, because of how he's looking ahead in his life.
Paul, do you know what you want to do after football yet?
I actually know exactly what I want to do. I want to make a sports apparel company, something like Battle Sports, but I want to make just gear and shoes and different type of things. And I want to start that when I get into the NFL, and I just want to make that a very big brand and make a lot from it and learn a lot from the business world as I am doing in college now. And I just want to make a sports apparel company and make a multi-million-dollar company.
How did you come up with that, and when did you start thinking about that?
Started thinking about it at a very young age, because throughout my time of playing football, people always looked to me for like the gear and like what to wear and the different swag techniques and like how to put on their things and advice on football gear, and also gear outside of sports, like dressing and fashion. People looked at me a lot for fashion. And I just feel like my insight towards how to wear certain things will help the fashion game a lot for sports and for just fashion in general.
A man with a plan, Malcolm Green, wanted to go into apparel and fashion, and he's on the right path educational-wise, as he is, again, a junior already in college as a true freshman. Very interesting, too, that the way he ended up at Clemson, you know, he was committed to LSU, and I think back to the recruiting cycle this past year, and that was a young man that Clemson came in late on. They offered him late, and he did not turn down the opportunity to go play for the Tigers. He decommitted from LSU, those Tigers, came over to Clemson, and a lot of that had to do with Kayvon Wallace. If you remember, the former Clemson safety who is now in the NFL playing for the Philadelphia Eagles, Wallace went to the same high school as Malcolm Green. They knew each other very well, and Wallace had a huge impact not on just Green's decision to come to Clemson, but his life in general, and the two were very close. So that had a lot to do with why Malcolm Green ended up in Tigertown, and he's going to have a stellar career, and obviously going to bring a lot, I think, off the field to Clemson as well. He talked about the Paul journey, how important that is to him. He talked about how patient he is, that he's not trying to rush things. He's not trying to become a superstar in college football right out the gate. He knows he's going to take some time to really learn this defense and get good at it. You heard him say there that he wants to be in the NFL and start his brand, his apparel brand, while he's playing in the pros. So he's got a lot of aspirations. And you look at what he's doing right now and how he's already making an impact at Clemson, you have to think that he's well on his way to accomplishing his goals. And this is a guy who has a lot of them. And you have to respect that from an 18-year-old out of Virginia. He's got a chance this week to go back to his home state, taking on the Virginia Tech Hokies in Blacksburg, and I think that's something, too, that he mentioned that he's really going to relish and have the opportunity to go back and do that. Obviously, he has a lot of friends and family in the state. And then also, this is a team that recruited him very heavily for a long time. And eventually, he parted ways with Virginia Tech on the in the recruiting process. But certainly a school that he knows very well. And I know he's excited to get back for his homecoming game in Blacksburg. How about that? As a true freshman, just happened to be playing Virginia Tech this year, which was not on the original schedule. If you remember, this was one of the games that was added after the pandemic changes to the slate of 2020 and the 10-game ACC schedule with the one extra bonus game. And it turned out that now Clemson gets to play Virginia Tech in Malcolm Green's home state. One last thing on Malcolm Green. According to Pro Football Focus College Edition, they named him True Freshman of the Week. Green graded out as an 87.3 from PFF College. He had six targets against him where teams were trying to throw against him. He had six of those, allowed two catches, and then had that big interception. So that's a pretty big honor. PFF College does a really detailed breakdown of players, and congratulations to Green for getting that honor. It means he played pretty doggone well when you take a look at the kind of evaluations they make there at PFF College. Coming up next, got a quick update on Clemson men's and women's basketball. Haven't really talked much about them this season. Good chance to do that here on this episode. So I got to know, what's your wall? What's the one thing you just can't seem to get over throughout your day? Maybe it's the back nine with your buddies, and on the weekend you're trying to just fight through the last couple of holes. You just don't have the energy that you used to. Maybe it's the last presentation of the day, just trying to get through the workday. Sometimes it's just picking up the kids, getting home, making dinner, doing their homework with them, getting your work done, getting ready for the next day. It's a lot to do. We're always on the go. We're always trying to find a way to get through and get and break through that final wall. Well, how about Built Go? Built Go is a healthy replacement for your energy drink. It doesn't have the fake stuff in it. It's lasting. It's very natural. It's like 5-hour energy. It really is. But you're not going to get the crash feeling. You're not going to feel like your day is over. You're going to feel good. It's good for your body, too. That's the good thing about Built Go. It's got the collagen protein in it. It's fast absorbing. It goes right to your system, and it's easy on your stomach, and it's loaded with healthy things, a little kick of caffeine, some B3, some honey, some beta-alanine. Built Go is a great way to add things like B6 and B12 to your diet. And remember, those collagen proteins, they promote joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. So the stuff literally makes you look better as well. Go to BuiltGo.com today. Use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Every Tuesday at Locked On NFL, Luke Braun and Ross Jackson break down the Monday night football action and top fantasy storylines around the NFL with the Tuesday Fantasy Forum. Luke and Ross are joined every Tuesday by a Locked On Fantasy expert to help you save your lineup with waiver wire pickups, must starts, and more. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's take a look at Clemson men's and women's basketball. And these two teams off to a perfect combined 5-0 start. Let's start with the women's team as they knocked off Furman in their first game 83-43. Then they blew out Presbyterian College 92-47. And then Monday night they beat Charlotte 80-73. They continue to play extremely well early on this season. Amanda Butler has her team already much better than last year. Last year was a step back for this team. And they brought in some young players. They lost a lot of players in the previous year. You know, they had a bunch of transfers and whatnot when Amanda Butler first came in. So she had to kind of reestablish some things with some younger players. But her culture is taking shape, and she's found a really solid team, a really solid group right now for the Tigers. And they're off to a great start. And I don't know if you've seen Kendall Spray, but she fills up the three-point column on the box score. 3 of 8 in Monday's game, and she finished with 15 points. And Delisha Washington went off in that game, 27 points and 8 rebounds to lead the Tigers. And very, very good start for Amanda Butler in this early part of the season. They're back on the hardwood on Wednesday when they take on Mercer at Little John Coliseum. Over on the men's side, Brad Brownell's squad coming off a 2-0 start where they won the Space Coast Challenge down in Melbourne, Florida, knocking off not one, but two Power 5 major teams in Mississippi State and Purdue. And Mississippi State's probably not a tournament team. Mississippi State's is kind of going through some rebuilding as they lost a ton of starters off of last year's team. Most of their roster turned over. And Clemson won that game 53-42 last week before Thanksgiving. And then on Thanksgiving Day, they knocked off Purdue 81-70. Purdue's probably a tournament team. Purdue had a ton of size. They have some experience. Purdue knew what they were doing. Matt Painter, a good friend of Brad Brownell's, those two probably grew up at least playing basketball in the same area of the country, as Brownell's from Indiana. Didn't like having to beat his old friend there, but 81-70 was the final in that one. And Clemson off to the kind of start that honestly I thought they would be. The identity of this team is simple. It's depth. They play so many players, and all of them seem to contribute early on too. And I think that's really the key. In fact, in the last game, 12 players saw action against Purdue, and 11 of them played at least 7.5 minutes in this ballgame. So he's rotating a lot of guys in, and that is keeping them fresh, and that's allowing them to really get after it on the defensive end, and that's where Clemson's excelled. I mean, the offense has been fine. Clemson's not going to shoot great as a team, but I think there's always going to be somebody, because you're rotating so many guys in, who can fill up the basket, who can make some shots for you. But really, the defense is the key right now for Brad Brownell. He's getting back to that aggressive style that he likes to play. He had some rosters for a couple years there that were more open court that he had to kind of concede some points to. He had guys who were scorers, who were offensive players, who really weren't the best at defense, and he just had to kind of say, okay, I get it. I'm going to have to give up some points, but I'm going to go get some points to try to win. That's not what this team is. This team can do a lot of different things. It's very diverse in terms of the styles it can play. And you saw some of that at the Space Coast Challenge, because they were able to sort of late in the game, you know, in the second half, maybe the team starts to look a little bit exhausted because it's early in the season and nobody has their legs under them yet. And all of a sudden, Brownell comes out with a full court press and he's picking guys up, and he can challenge teams far away from the basket and force them to execute better and harder when they're tired. And that's because he has so many guys who can come in and play, and they'll trap and they'll get after it. And the other thing too, some of these guys on this team look like they found the fountain of youth. I mean, Clyde Trapp is back. Did you see how he was able to get up and throw down some dunks in this game against Purdue? So his knee, just fine. And then, you know, some of the experience the guys got last year, like an Almir Dawes, an Alex Hemingway. Jonathan Bear is back from that knee injury, and he looks good. He's going to give Clemson a lot of solid minutes this year. And then, you know, Hunter Tyson and Chase Hunter. Chase Hunter is going to play a lot this year. Nick Honor, the Fordham transfer who had to sit out last season, is going to be sort of the bulldog of this team. He's not going to always shoot at a high percentage. He's more of a volume shooter, but he has no fear, and he's going to continue, I think, to play well for the Tigers. And then there's the freshman. Oh, my goodness. This PJ Hall kid has got everything you need. He's got size, strength, he's fearless, and he's good around the basket. Very nice touch, and he can step outside and hit shots too. But he is going to give Clemson a huge boost this year. And then it's not just this year, but what he turns into in his career. They're very, very excited about the best player in the state of South Carolina in this past recruiting class and what he's going to do for Clemson. This is going to wrap up Locked On Clemson podcast. I want to thank you so much for checking me out. Make sure you go to wherever your podcasts are and hit the download button, the subscribe button. Help Locked On Clemson podcast continue to grow. Hope you have a great day. Be back on Wednesday. Have a great Tuesday. Talk to you tomorrow, Tiger Nation.